Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Robcast. This is episode 366, and the title of this episode is, And Then He Skated Away. This episode, there's a lot of things I want to tell you about, so there's just a list here. And once again, there are no tangents. As we know, everything is related to everything else. So I want to tell you about something that happened to me at a Thai restaurant a couple weeks ago. Then I'm going to talk about birds and backpacks. Then I'll give you a proper update on the spaceship sessions. And then I'm going to talk about plywood because I love plywood. Have I talked about plywood on the Robcast before? How have we done, 366 episodes and I haven't talked about my love of plywood? I find plywood to be an utter marvel. I could stare at plywood for long periods of time. So we'll have to spend a moment on plywood. Then I want to offer something for you to say to your dog in case it helps. And then we'll spend a moment on academic weapons. I want to tell you about something that's been happening to me for several months in some play meetings that I've been in. And then we will contemplate the drink selection at the convenience store in our neighborhood. And then I'd like to wrap up this episode by reflecting on the enduring nature of To Kill a Mockingbird. So there you go. That's where we're headed. So first, a couple Friday nights ago, Kristen and I and our son Preston went to a Thai restaurant. It's not far from where I surf. I'd never even seen it. That's the thing that's so interesting is when you all of a sudden realize there was a thing there and you never saw it and you've been by it 100 times. And so the restaurant's in a strip mall and you go through the door and it's all the tables. From left to right are the rows of tables. And then you walk between the tables where people are eating to the back where you order, and then you take a seat and they bring you your food when it's done. Fairly standard restaurant setup. So we sat on the far left. I had my back to the left wall. Kristen was sitting next to me. Preston's across the table from us. So the front door is over to my right. The counter is over to my left. I can take in the entire tableau with one glance. Partway through the meal, I see a guy coming down the sidewalk on rollerblades in front of the strip mall. And in one effortless, liquid, smooth motion, he turns when he gets to the door of the Thai restaurant on those rollerblades, enters the... He does not pause. This brosif does not see any reason why this isn't the most completely rational, normal thing to do on a Friday night. He takes that turn, skates in between the tables, and stops at the counter to place his order like he's done this 1,000 times. I'm telling you, it was poetry, performance art. It was like that guy was listening to music in his head the rest of us couldn't hear. Do you know what I'm saying? It was such... how would I ever explain to this guy how inspiring it was to see him pull that maneuver off with that sort of ease and flow? I'm still thinking about it. All right, next on my list, I get a text from Violet 2 days ago in the middle of the day. This, and it's a group family text. This is what she texts. 14-year-old, sitting somewhere, I assume, in a classroom or on break at high school. She types, "The guy who sits next to me in Spanish trapped a bird in his backpack while he was outside, and he brought it in the class and opened up his backpack and let the bird out. And the teacher was just like, quote, oh, this happens all the time, and had thought the bird just flew in on its own. We all respond." Immediately, the family jumps in on this one, because how could you not respond to that? And then she types, poor bird. He had the bird trapped in his backpack for a couple of minutes. You can just feel her like... That is not right. Oh, remember that? freshman year, you're 14. There's always that guy, right? He's got a bird in the backpack. do I have a list here? Oh, yeah. Okay, next thing. A couple episodes ago, I told you I had this idea. And instead of like sorting it all out and then telling you, I was like, I'll just bring you in early. I'd like to drive around in my car. I'd like to load it up with paintings and then and books and the spaceship, Where'd You Park Your Spaceship books. And then I'd like to do a art show, book club, signing, group hang, happening, shindig event. And so I put it out there to you people. And I said that I'd like to do one in Bakersfield because one time I did a tour stop in Bakersfield at this wrestling arena, rink, venue thing. And I was like, at some point I have to go back to Bakersfield. So I put that out there and you people responded. So we're going to try this. There were no Bakersfield suggestions. Yeah, so we're not going to do Bakersfield in the first round. But Bakersfield, I see you, I love you, and I'm just waiting for the magic to appear within your midst. But as it is right now, in April, I'm going to do, let's call them spaceship sessions. Doesn't that feel right? And April 13th, I'll be in Pomona. I'll be at a medical university in the yoga space upstairs. All this info is at my site. And then the next week, I'll be at, is it Goat Moon Coffee? I always want to say Moon Goat, but Goat Moon is better. In Costa Mesa. I mean, if a coffee place has goat and moon in the name of it, we're doing something there, right? We're meeting up. So I'm going to pierce the veil and head into the, go behind the orange curtain and be in Costa Mesa. And so the Pomona one is 5 to 7. The Costa Mesa Goat Moon is 7 to 9. And then, because you people had some ideas. I mean, you give people like just a, you give people the skeletal structure of an idea, then you let them go with it. My goodness, there were some ideas. But one of them that I instantly was like, oh, we are for sure doing this, is somebody in San Luis Obispo, slow, I'm coming your way, because somebody suggested a parkway. Apparently there's a beautiful street and they sent a picture of it where there's one direction and then the other direction, but in between them, there's like a grass parkway in the middle of the street. And apparently lots of people walk on this street. And so they're like, why don't you just set up in that parkway? So on April 27th, from 1 to 3, I'm going to set up a bookstore, art store, show, all of us hanging out, meeting up, getting to know each other in the parkway. And at my site, you'll see the street and then what streets it's between. And you'll get, and then just, I guess, honestly, just drive until you see me sitting under some, I think they're palm trees, in a parkway in San Luis Obispo. Doesn't that feel right? Oh my God, seriously. So April, I'm going on tour around Southern California. And I have all these new paintings here in my garage. I'll have them set up that you can take home with you if that's what you're into. And I do love signing books to people's friends because sometimes people like want to give a book to a friend. And I'll just say, do you have like an inside joke with that friend? And then I'll sign the book from me to their friend as if I'm in on the inside joke, which that just doesn't get old. So all that's happening, all of the info is at my site. And those of you who are going to be in Pomona, Costa Mesa, SLO, I'm coming your way. And then who knows? There may be other areas, cities, stops, places that... you know, we'll just make this up as we go along and see what happens. Next, plywood. I love plywood. I love painting on plywood. One of my favorite surf shops in the world is Mollusk. There's one in Venice, one in Santa Monica, there's one in San Francisco. Weird, I've been to all of them. But they do the interiors in plywood. And man, I mean, you do plywood. There's a house near us, they did the kitchen in plywood and then just did like this varnish lacquer on it. Seriously, squad goals right there. A plywood kitchen someday. And when I first started painting, I had some chunks of plywood that were left over from some remodeling we had to do on this house. And then I'd scavenged from other projects around Ojai. And I've had this huge stack I've been working on for a year. Like probably, I don't know how many paintings, 80, 100, 100 paintings on these pieces of wood. But just the other day, I noticed that I'm getting down to the end of my supply. And there's a bin at the local lumberyard where they have free chunks of wood. And I sometimes go there and get pieces. And sometimes there's pieces that work. And but just, what was it, last week, I was like, wait, I only have like two kitchen cabinets from a 1960s kitchen remodel and then a couple pieces from a 1940s ranch house that got gutted, and that's it. Whoa, what am I gonna do? Because that's part of the joy to me, is taking these discarded chunks. And those of you who have been in the art store on my site and have been buying the pieces, and I make like cardboard, I make like boxes and ship them to you, and then I draw a spaceship on the outside, and it's so enjoyable. But just these pieces that started in my garage that are going all over the place, so fun. But I was like, oh wait, am I gonna have to like buy plywood? Because part of the joy is just how I keep stumbling, you know, like my supply. And so I'm confident, I have a rough idea how much plywood costs. It's like, wow, is that where we're at? Because we're getting down to the bottom here. And that day, I walk out in our front, in front of the garage here, and I just adore my neighbor, Johnny. He is just the best. And he and I often have conversations, him and his driveway, me and mine, and we sort of talk across the street. And I walk out and I see Johnny, and he looks up and he sees me and he says, hey, Rob. I say, hi, Johnny. And he says, do you want some plywood? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, great. What sizes would you like? And I was like, well, I think 2 feet by 2 feet squares. And he says, okay, I'll bring them over a little later. So now I have a new stack of plywood to work with sitting right in front of me. I know. How does the whole thing work? Really? What is this situation we call this, right? What in the world? Oh yeah, next on the list. Try this. Try looking your dog in the eyes. If you have a dog, that will help this exercise. Look your dog in the eyes. Take a deep breath, you know, like you really mean it, because you do. And then say to your dog, you're doing such a great job. I'm telling you, just watch what happens to your relationship with your dog. It goes to another level. Try doing this once a day. Once a day, just tell your dog, hey, you know what? You're doing a great job. And just watch what happens. Watch, your dog's already this presence. That's the gift of a dog, right? A dog is presence. Watch what happens to the presence of that dog. It's like the dog knows what you're saying, for sure. Dogs know, right? Oh, so that guy on the rollerblades, he places his order and then he glides over to a table and he sits down. Have you ever sat down in rollerblades? I think I did once or twice in the early 90s. That's tricky. Once again, dude sits down at a table with the rollerblades still on, effortless, smooth as silk. Like, he made that look like, I know what's going down here. Okay, so Violet has this English teacher who has... she's done that thing that the greats do, that the great teachers do. This English literature teacher has ignited a passion for literature in my daughter. And at the beginning of the year, it was hard because it was like a whole new language. It was like a whole new system, essentially. But within a couple of weeks, Violet was like, oh my God, you can like read a book and then there are these depths and layers and interpretation and discussion. And then you look at it from a different angle. And so she starts reading the books that are assigned and she's like, this book, I just keep crying. It's so powerful. And then we discussed it. And then part of the class is writing multiple papers a week. And so right away, she's like, hey, can I tell you about this paper? Can we work on this paper? So now since August, and I checked with Violet just before doing this episode, almost every night during the week, we discuss or I read over or she throws around the ideas she has about a paper she's writing and we sort of knock it back and forth. Pretty much every night, we are doing something together involving her literature class. And she's been reading all these classics and then some of the books I've read so that we can talk about it. So like I'll read it and then I'll go into a room and I'll be like, oh my word, end of chapter 3. Who saw that coming? And yeah, what a gift. Shout out to all the teachers, yeah, who do that. And just watching her come alive with the power of like these black etchings on a white piece of paper, these words on a page and what they do. Whew, what a thing. Yeah. So, man, so grateful. Shout out to Miss Taylor. So the other night, Violet, we're all sitting at the table talking, listening to music, et cetera, in the kitchen. And she's got this one paper that if she gets it done a week early before winter break, she gets all these extra points and she's very motivated. So we're just chopping it up at the table, telling stories, et cetera, and all of a sudden, but she's like, I got to get this paper done by tonight. And she stands up and she says, well, it's academic weapon o'clock. And she walks out of the kitchen to go work on that paper. How is that for a phrase? Well, what time is it? It's academic weapon o'clock. So Robcast friends, I give you this. So what I have discovered is just take that word academic, because maybe you're not in class. Maybe you're not a 14-year-old in honors English writing papers. Just swap out academic for whatever you're doing. Just try this. What time is it? Laundry weapon o'clock. Yeah, what time is it? Walk the dog weapon o'clock. And just notice how the whole thing, the whole thing just goes to to another level. Better yet, say it in front of somebody who isn't familiar with this way of describing moments and watch how they come to life. Watch them suddenly develop new dreams and plans and goals for their lives. Academic. What time is it? Academic weapon o'clock. And then she walks out. I mean, the timing alone. Whose daughter is this? The drama, the performance of it. I love it. Okay, next. Oh, yeah. This one. In 2019, I wrote a play called We'll Get Back to You, and I had written one play the year before, but I have only been to a couple of plays in my life. I don't really know anything about plays, and I haven't read any books. I don't know anything about playwriting. I just had this idea for a play, so I wrote it, and then we did some workshop readings where people came, and we got these actors, and then I wrote another one, and I just loved it so much. And obviously, if you write a play, you want to see it like on a stage. So for 5 years, we've been doing table reads, we've been doing Zoom reads with actors, and Kristen Hange is directing this play. And last summer we did some workshop readings at Mirror Box Theater in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, because there are all these developmental theaters around the country. So if you wanted to have your play in New York, like, you know what I mean? You want to like go New York, you start in all of these experimental mental theaters around the country where stuff starts and you hone it and you craft it and you shape it and you get it all dialed in before you, you know, you take your swing. And so we did it at this wonderful theater called Mirror Box. And there's a whole scene. Did you notice, by the way, there's a whole theater scene in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And these people are on it. There's like a whole community of tech and lighting. There are all these different spaces. And this one Mirror Box is in, I think it was an auto body shop that they turned into like this black box. I think it's a 99-seat theater. And Caven runs it, this wonderful human being. So I like got last summer, I got to meet all these people and sort of get introduced to this whole fascinating world. And then the folks at Mirror Box and some other producers were all like, let's do it. Let's stage. We'll get back to you. And let's stage it and structure it so we can start it here in Cedar Rapids. And then let's take it as far as we can take it. So since the summer, actually, where are we at now? 8 months now, I have been doing these regular Zoom meetings. And now the meetings include, Kristen, director and producers and set design and this wonderful fellow who recently did the sets for a Mehmet play, and then costuming and lighting and sound. And so I'm in these meetings because the premiere is April 4th. And then the play runs April 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and then it runs for the whole month, essentially. So I'll be there the premiere weekend in Iowa for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that premiere weekend. There'll be the play, and then there'll be a break, and then Kristen and I and we'll come out and do like a talk back with the audience and take questions. And oh my God, I mean, yeah, some things take years and years, and then they actually start happening. And now we have a date, and you can get tickets. And I keep meeting people who are like, hearing people are like, yeah, got our tickets. We'll be there. We'll see you in Iowa, which I didn't when I mapped out my life, as we all do. I wasn't like, we'll see you in Iowa. That will be a phrase that will light you up, Robert Bell. So, of course, I'd love to see you there. And they're also going to work through some streaming options so you could see it wherever you are in the world. But here's the thing. I don't know anything about plays. I mean, like how you stage a play, how you produce a play. I don't know how you structure it financially. I don't know. At one point in the meetings, someone referred to how the first rehearsals will be off book. What's that? So for 8 months, I raised my hand metaphorically and sometimes literally and just stop and ask, because these people, Caven, Kristen, Chris, Patrick, like these people, they know what they're doing. They're like pros with all this heart and soul, but like there's all this expertise and terminology. And so I just ask, and they're so kind and gracious that they tell me what's going on and what they're discussing. And some of it I can pick up, but in many ways, it's like learning a new language. And it has been, how'd I say this? It has spilled over into so many areas of my life, this beginner's mind. I don't have all sorts of expertise to draw on, so I just have my curiosity and my questions. You know that thing that happens when you're, like you're talking to a group of people and somebody says, you know, they'll say something like, you know that scene in Game of Thrones with the head and the dragon and the river? Remember that scene? And everybody goes, mm-hmm, but you don't. You didn't see that. You don't know what they're talking about. And so, but you do that thing where you don't want to be like, no, because you're gonna bring their point to a grinding halt if you just go, yeah, no, I didn't see that scene. No idea what you're talking about. Please summarize. You don't want to be that person. But otherwise, you have that sort of like, or how many times has somebody said to you, blah, 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 and use some French word, and you wanted to pretend, your New York Times brain wanted to pretend like you were informed, but you had no idea what they were talking about. But you kind of did like a little head nod, like, But you didn't. I didn't have a clue what that meant. And instead of just going, you know what? I have no idea what that means. And apparently everybody else right here does, but I don't. So So I'm done with that. Cause this experience has like, yeah, if you don't know, you just don't know. If you don't know, you just don't know. Yeah. It's like been this exercise in beginner's mind, an extended multi-month. Yeah. So you just, yeah. And actually, the reason why it's been so moving to me is it's actually one of the most enjoyable things about this process I'm in with these new friends of mine is I'm picking up so much. Yeah. In some ways, for so many of us, imposter syndrome, what am I doing here? Who am I? I don't have authority. I'm not legit. The antidote is love. That's what this process, that's what this experience has been doing to me. The antidote to feeling like you're a fake, like you aren't legit, like you haven't earned it, like you aren't like all of them, imposter. The antidote is love. I love it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's the, yeah, if that's you and you're like, yeah, but if I put this out, if I try this, if I do this, I mean, other people are actually, yeah, but love, yeah, cuts through all that. Would you love to try it? Yeah, I'd love to try it. Good, good. When we see somebody throwing themselves into something because they love it, yeah, that's what makes the world go round. We have enough experts. We have enough technicians. We have enough people who can rattle off for you lists of their accomplishments. Yeah, we got enough of that. But love, people are doing what, and also like, well, it won't be any good. Since when is that the measure, if it's good or not? Ugh. Yeah, no, love. Love, you love it. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm so grateful for these people that I'm, been working with and what it's doing to me. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So if you don't know, just stop and be like, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. What is that? And then you learn. And what could be better? Whew. Okay. Next. There is a convenience store in between our house and Violet's school. And so it actually is convenient. Was it Raising Arizona? What? The great Nicolas Cage, phase one. You know that movie, Raising Arizona, when he's like, I found myself driving by convenience stores that weren't even on the way home. Well, there's a convenience store that actually is on the way home. And so there are a number of days when I pick up Violet and I say, snacks? And she says, yeah. And so we stop by this convenience store. And this Yusef, who runs it, he like really, really takes care, and we have long discussions about what's in this convenience store. Because remember, like, let's say 10 years ago, if you were on a road trip and you stopped in a convenience store, there were three kinds of beverages: alcohol, water, and then drinks that were like pretty much sugar with a little water, maybe some flavoring, right? It's like soda, pop, depending on where you live, alcohol, water. But if you noticed, in the past, let's say 5 years now, there's this new category that's not water, and we're all for water, and it's not 100% like all that sugar. It's just that like unsweetened, but like kind of nominally good for you category. And Yusef has taken upon himself to like stock that convenience store with all of these. Oh, it's just the best. So we stop and we get the snacks, and generally by then, she's already giving me the rundown on the day, and we're probably into what happened in literature class, right? So we oftentimes pull into the garage. I back into the garage, and the other day, she and I are sitting in the garage, looking out of the garage, eating our snacks. Smart Food Popcorn's my favorite. And Kristen pulls up, and we're discussing literature. We're discussing To Kill a Mockingbird. Because they just finished that unit, and Kristen pulls up and is like, are you guys eating snacks in the car, in the garage? And I said, yeah, and discussing great literature. I just give you that image. The best, the best. And Violet's like, Mom, it's always dad's idea, and that's true. All I have to say is snacks, and oh, it's the best. To Kill a Mockingbird. We have watched that Gregory Peck black and white version. Here's what's interesting. Violet, who has the world on her phone, is showing me different scenes from the Gregory Peck black and white version going, this is so good. This is so, look how it's shot. It's even shot in black and white. How powerful is this? So this classic piece of literature she just finished, To Kill a Mockingbird, has her watching films from like 50 years ago, 60, 70 years ago, just riveted. But you know what, after they finish To Kill a Mockingbird, they're reading now? Romeo and Juliet. They just started that. And she's like, what's the deal with that book? Last week, she's like, we're about to start Romeo and Juliet. What's the deal with that? So I was talking to her about that, and we're already now into Romeo and Juliet. And wait, Leo made a film that takes place in like modern times that they speak Shakespeare. Wait, what? What is this whole Romeo and Juliet world? But you know what the teacher did? Once again, shout out Miss Taylor. Violet's like, you know what she did? This was yesterday. She said she divided the class. She gave people in the class parts and we're reading Shakespeare aloud. And different people are playing the different, reading the different characters. I was like, oh my God, is that awesome? She's like, yeah. Because some of the kids are going for it. Right? Because there's always the kid. There's always that kid who traps a bird in his backpack. But then there's always that kid who they give her that part in freshman English. They give her that Romeo and Juliet part. And it's her turn to read. And she just goes for it. Right? And so those kids are stepping up. And it, she's like, oh yeah, it is amazing. Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, remember when we started reading Romeo and Juliet out loud in class? Yeah, oh, those were the days. Oh, yeah. One more thing. The guy, turns out he was getting takeout. I know, I didn't see that coming. So he sits down at a table in his rollerblades. He makes that look effortless. But then they bring his bag of food over to him in the takeout to-go containers, and they set it down on the table that he is sitting at. This Brosif stands up in rollerblades. I assume that's quite difficult. He stands up in rollerblades, takes the food, the carryout bag of food in his hand, and skates out of the restaurant. And then he skated away. I don't know what that was. It was a masterclass in something. I got to write that down. That's a good title. Right? I think we could say that a lot of things, couldn't we? I don't know what it was, but it was a masterclass in something. I'm literally writing that down right now because that will come in at some point in the future. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Some things you don't even know. Whew, I don't even know what that is, but wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Draw a circle around that. Yeah. Yeah. Something going on there. So that's this episode, my friends. We're here. We're alive. What a strange, surreal, heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, painful, euphoric, complicated, yeah, mysterious thing. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. Is it ever? Peace and love. My friends.